This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, today we're going to talk about the power of words. Whenever I hear people say that words have no power, I ask them this question. Is there a conversation you can remember word for word where somebody said some things to you that hurt you and you say, oh yeah, I can remember those conversations? Can you remember a time when someone just let you have it verbally? And to this day, 10 years later, 20 years later, maybe 50 years later, without too much effort, you can recall the words, the powerful, hateful words of another person. And you say, yes, and everybody does, but before you're too quick to do that, remember there may be somebody who does that memory exercise with you. You're the one who said the words. You're the one who leveled somebody. You're the one who let somebody have it and said, yeah, I took him down a notch. Well, I took her down a couple of notches, and yet we brag about our words that sometimes we don't realize that the words are the real test of who we are, according to Jesus, not according to me. Not according to a psychologist, not according to the culture. Words reflect who we are as people. And so today, a message about words, to me, is one of the most frightening passages in all the Bible. In all of the New Testament, in all of the Sermon on the Mount that we study, that we've been studying and will study for the next few weeks, today you're going to read some words that I think are frightening because Jesus is talking to you. He's talking to me about something that we think is no big deal, the way we talk. I remember hearing Paul Harvey quote a rock star on his program in one of his broadcasts, and the rock star was defending the lyrics that they used in their music as if it's no big deal, and he said this, they're just words. They're just words. Somebody needs to tell Jesus that they're just words. Somebody needs to tell the Lord God Almighty they're just words because the words reveal so much as the real test of a man or woman's life. Let's bring it up in Luke 6, exactly where I left off last week. We're in verse 43, and then we're going to look at a parallel passage in Matthew, the same message, but quoted a little differently by Matthew. No good tree bears bad fruit, verse 43. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Listen to that last sentence again. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And then if we could bring up the parallel passage in Matthew 12. Jesus is speaking and he says this, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. Listen to that again. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. They're just words. They're just words. Somebody needs to straighten Jesus out because Jesus said, by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Well, in actuality, some of the most frightening words in the New Testament from the Sermon on the Mount about words. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Be sure to look at visual stories on crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Well, all this week, a series within a series. We're in a sermon series called Simple Gospel, taken from the Gospel of Luke. And for a few weeks, we're looking specifically at what's called the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 6. This week, talking about the power of words. Words have power. Martin Luther believed that our words had life, that when you spoke words, that each word had a life of its own, almost in a living, breathing sense. And I don't know if I would take it that far. in saying that, but words do have power. Some of you will remember from your childhood a dictionary and encyclopedia set known as the Funk and Wagnall Dictionary, the Funk and Wagnall Encyclopedia set. I remember seeing them in libraries years ago. And one of the editors of that encyclopedia and dictionary series was asked to come up with the 10 most expressive words in the English language. That's an interesting thought. What would make your 10? You know, in our culture, and I'm not being facetious at all, we probably would be surprised what people would come up with, probably a lot of profanity. A lot of blasphemy would be what most people in the United States of America would come up as the 10 most expressive words, but here's their list. The most bitter word, alone. The most tragic word, death. The most revered word, mother. The most beautiful word, love. The most cruel word, revenge. The most peaceful word, tranquil. The saddest word, forgotten. The warmest word, friendship. The coldest word, no. And the most comforting word, faith. The most comforting word, faith. If you don't believe words have power, I want to give you two simple illustrations. This was given to me by a Catholic priest, a powerful illustration of two illustrations that he was familiar with of the power of words. He told me about a church in a country village years ago where an altar boy was serving the priest on a Sunday mass. He accidentally dropped what is referred to as the cruet, C-R-U-E-T, cruet of wine. The village priest struck the altar boy on the cheek and in a gruff whisper said, "Leave the altar and don't ever come back." That boy grew up to be Tito, the communist leader, I believe, of Yugoslavia years ago. Now, I'm not saying because that priest did that, that's why Tito became a communist leader. But it's an interesting connection, to say the least. And then the Catholic priest told me this story. He said, contrast that with the cathedral of a large city where an altar boy was serving the bishop at Sunday Mass. He accidentally dropped the cruet of wine. With a warm twinkle in his eyes, the bishop gently whispered, "Son, someday you will be a priest. Someday you will be a priest." That boy grew up to be the Archbishop Fulton Sheen of New York, one of the most dynamic speakers of the 1950s and 60s on television and radio. I remember being in Columbus, Ohio at a McDonald's, listening to the radio, drinking a cup of coffee, listening to this powerful sermon. I said, "I've never heard this man before. Who in the world is this?" And it was an old rerun of Fulton Sheen giving a powerful message on the cross that I had never heard him speak before. And you have two contrasting stories of where two things happen to two boys involving words. Words have power. And my point in telling those stories is this: all of us can reach back into memory and remember the things that people have said to us, and yet sometimes we have amnesia, total amnesia of the things that we have said. And perhaps that statement's true with you. We continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. I want to tell you a powerful story at the beginning of what words can do, because I know the person involved or one of the people involved. Jeff Cheadle is a minister acquaintance of mine, but Jeff wrote a powerful piece about words in his family. One evening many years ago, I was talking with my sister on the telephone. She'd been upset about a number of things, as we all are from time to time, and she wanted to visit. During the course of our conversation, she shared something with me that haunted her for years. And she told him something, and she began to tell him by saying this, "Jeff, I'm going to tell you something that I've never even told Mom or Dad." His grown sister, "I'm going to tell you something I've never even told Mom or Dad." That would get your attention if your sister or brother told you that. She told me that less than 30 minutes before our younger brother Mark had been killed while riding his bicycle, the two of them had gotten into an argument about something. As brothers and sisters do, she said some things that she really didn't mean, but one of those things that she said to Mark, her brother, was this: "Mark, I wish you were dead." 30 minutes later, he was. 30 minutes later, he was. She never had a chance to take back those words. What a chilling effect those words had on my sister's life for years after. An effect not visible to others, but shaped her self-understanding for years, decades to come. Sure, my sister outgrew the childish notion that somehow she caused our brother's death by wishing it. She knew she didn't do that. But she had yet to recover from the emotional fallout, the guilt, the shame, the self-condemnation which grew out of having said something too thoughtlessly, too hastily. We can't take back our words. He says, like an arrow loosed from a bow, once released, our words do what they will do, and they cannot be returned to us. Perhaps that's why the saying is found in the book of Proverbs, those who guard their mouths preserve their lives. Those who open wide their lips come to ruin. They're only words. They're only words. Somebody needs to tell that to Jeff Cheadle's sister. Have you ever talked about a person and you said, you know, he's got such a foul mouth, he needs to clean up his mouth. Well, you know, the way she talks at work, that lady needs to clean up her mouth and clean up her act. And we use those expressions, clean up your act or clean up your mouth. What people need to realize from the words of Jesus is that they don't need to clean up their mouths, they need to clean up their hearts. For you see, Jesus says that what you say and what I say is simply an outflow or an overflow of what's already there. And I think the King James Version in Luke says that it's from the treasure inside, that's what you pull your words from. And I looked that up in the original. I found out it's the word thesaurus in the Greek. And you know what it means? It means deposit. The words that you say are simply that which has been deposited in your heart or my heart. What have you deposited spiritually into your heart? And what have you deposited in terms emotionally? We're simply saying today that what we say is nothing more than what Jesus said it is, a result of what's in my heart and your heart. And that's why Jesus said in the Gospels, our words do reflect what we are. Let's bring that up. My words reveal my character. Secondly, words reveal my commitments. And words reveal my convictions. Write those three down, will you? Words reveal my character, my commitments, and my convictions. Well, if that's true, what do your words say about you, my friend? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Words reveal my character, my commitments, and my convictions. I don't want anybody raising your hands, obviously, in a time like this, but remember maybe when you were dating your spouse. Remember a time that maybe it was early in the relationship and you heard some words come out of his mouth or her mouth and frankly you were a little taken back. And you may have said to yourself, I didn't know he talked like that. I didn't know she talked like that. And you had a flash. You had a revelation, so to speak, of a little bit of what that man, that woman, was like in a way that you never saw before. And what revealed it, get this, were words. They're only words. Words have power to reveal our character. What would be revealed about your character or my character by our words? That's a really thought-provoking question. What do people see in terms of the character of you revealed by your conversation? William Barclay had something powerful to say that I want to read to you about how words reveal our character, because it says it in a way that speaks to me. He said, many a man or woman is a model of charm and courtesy in public when they know they're being watched, when they are deliberately careful about his or her words. But when he or she is in their own house, they can be a dreadful example of irritability, sarcasm, temper, criticism, and complaining, because they think they do not need to keep up their guard because there's no one to hear or see. And then Barclay says this, the words we speak when our guard is down really are the words that reveal what we really are. The words we speak when our guard is down are the words that reveal what we really are. Let's bring that list back up again if we can. The three words, character, convictions, and commitments. Think about how you can be around a person for a short period of time and they can tell you about their political convictions and commitments. People tell you what they're committed to financially. They let it out. In other words, it seeps out in conversation. People let you know what people they're committed to, what political causes they're committed to. And I think we reveal our Christian conviction or Christian commitments or commitments to something else. Commitments to someone else is revealed. There's an interesting passage in Timothy. I don't have it for the screen, but it's in 1 Timothy. Where Paul is giving advice to this young minister, and he says, I want you to be an example, Timothy, to believers. And he lists five things, five areas of your life that I want you to be an example in. I'm going to give you the last four first. He said, there's five areas that you need to be an example in as a young minister. Here's what it was. He said, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Do you know what was number one? Speech. The number one thing that Paul said, I want you to be an example to the believers, Timothy, in the way you talk. I don't think it's an accident. You know why I don't think it's an accident? For this reason. It didn't matter what kind of example Timothy was in life and love and purity if his speech betrayed something else. That's what I think. That's why I think he put it at the top of the list, because what difference does it make if people say, he's a model of faith? Well, she's a model of godliness, and then you say, but have you ever heard her talk? You ever had a conversation with that guy? It's a story about a place in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's hard to believe this, folks, but there used to be places like this. I thought this was made up. I talked to somebody from Memphis, and they said, no, I remember the place. Here, can you believe having a relative in a place called this, the Home for the Incurables, Memphis, Tennessee? And it was a place, a hospital that people went to where they had some illness where they were just put away because they were just considered incurable. There was a young man brought to this place by the name of Lloyd Jeffries. He was 16 years old when he was brought in. He had all kinds of medical problems that left him debilitated, including a paralyzed larynx. Simple phrase, he couldn't talk. He couldn't say a word. Paralyzed larynx. He couldn't talk at all. For 18 years, from age 16 to age 34, the only sound that this young man could make with his mouth was a crowing sound like a bird. Now, that sounds funny maybe to some people, but yet if it was your child, it wouldn't be funny. If it was your husband or your wife, it wouldn't be funny. The only sound he could make when he opened up his mouth was a crowing sound like a bird. The nurse came into his room to open up the curtains, to wake him up for breakfast. He made his usual crowing sound, and then he said to her, good morning. Now, remind you, he hasn't spoken for 18 years, from age 16 to 34. The nurse almost fainted. She started talking to him, and he was able to talk back. She got one of the doctors to come in. They couldn't explain what happened. For 18 years, this paralyzed larynx suddenly broke free, and he was able to speak. The first thing he wanted to do that morning was to call his mother. So someone got his mother on the phone. She was making a cup of coffee at home. And they said, we have someone to talk to you. They put the phone to him, and he said, good morning, mother. Happy Thanksgiving, mother. Here's what the author of the article said. No medical explanation was found for his sudden recovery, but the hospital administrator said this. It was our Thanksgiving miracle. It was our Thanksgiving miracle. Folks, I would consider that a miracle when a man couldn't speak for 18 years but was able to say, good morning, mother, happy Thanksgiving, after not being able to speak for 18 years. But may I share with you a greater miracle? And I really mean this. A greater miracle is when a man or woman who's never had a good word to say about God, never had anything to say about God, good or bad, stands in front of a group of Christians and says, "Today, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, and with my mouth, with my speech, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Paul said in Romans, it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, put in a right relationship. You believe in your heart. But then he says this, but it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's interesting. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified, put in a right relationship, but it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. They're just words. They're not just words. They're a reflection of your relationship that is to the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord said, if you acknowledge me before men, he's talking about verbally, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Did you get that? And Jesus says that in Matthew. My job in the ministry, I finally came to conclusion, is to get people to realize who Jesus is and admit it. That's my job. Is to get people to realize and acknowledge who Jesus Christ is and be willing to say so and be willing to live for him until the day they die. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word today from the Gospel of Luke.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.